podcast. Good to be here. I'm the president of this little happy group.
Marilyn is here with us today.
Hello from me. It was a big day for my bathroom today.
Oh, lovely.
A thorough clean.
Oh,
yes. How's that for a boring introduction?
Jeanette, we had a shampoo drama today. I've woken up at 7:30 a.m. Mum, where's the shampoo? I forgot to buy shampoo again.
You look at my hair, you can't see my hair out there, podcast word, but my hair looks quite fine today. Yeah. All I did, I wet it and went like, you know, muggle and wash it.
You're not a teenager, Carol.
Just did it, but I'm not precious.
Really glad that you finally worked out that's how you do your hair and not pull a brush through it. Good girl.
Curls are curls. Don't try and tame your curls.
Worst thing you can do.
My mother tried to give me curls. She used to put my hair in curls.
Did she? Did that hurt when you lay
a
on
lot?
See, we're creative people here, talking about creative things.
Okay, hairstyles.
And the next thing we're going to talk about is freedom is our theme for the festival and our poetry competition that we're running. Mm. I am thrilled with the quality of the poems that have been coming in.
Terrific.
And don't forget, people, if you're listening here, this Freedom competition of Adelaide Plains Poets finishes on the 13th of April, so get your poems into me. 1594 Germantown Road, Redbanks, 5502. It's $10 for your first poem, and it's another $5 for each poem that you put in after that one.
And the festival's coming along. We've now confirmed Roseanne Hawke as a guest for one of the workshops.
Terrific.
And here comes Alex. Hi.
Oh, he approaches. He is
well,
nigh.
Welcome, Alex.
Thank you.
So, books. Jane Eyre. And you've got the crazy aunt.
Reed.
In the attic.
Aunt Reed.
No, I was thinking about the person who locked her up in the...
Yes, that's Aunt Reed.
That is her, okay.
Yeah, that's Aunt Reed who locks her up in the red room. The person locked in the attic is the mad wife.
That's one.
And Rochester.
Who was naughty? No, who was lovely? No, you know what teenage girl didn't fall in love with him? But he was not a nice person, or was he?
Well, if she really was insane, which is him, but she really was.
Another book that I really enjoyed that is we're going to talk about tonight on the radio, which is exciting, is the Winged Pods Anthology. Okay, so moving along, what's next?
Marilyn?
I've got a book by an author called Robin Sisman. It's called Special Relationship. It's a very entertaining book. It deals with relationships. Special Relationship is the name of the book, and in it you get the relationships between mother and son, father and son, mother and daughter, boyfriend and girlfriend, husband and wife, and they're all interconnected. Annie is probably the heroine of the story, and her son Jack. Jack goes off to Oxford and he takes his mother's old trunk with him to put all his gear in. He discovers a photo, drops out of the trunk, and somebody picks it up and says, oh, here's the photo of you and your girlfriend. And he looks at it and he thinks, well, that's not my girlfriend, that's my mum. But the person in it sort of looks like me. So that straight away makes him think, mum had a boyfriend and it's not dad. So he wonders who this other person could be. So he decides he's going to find out. And then we go backwards and forwards in the story a fair bit, but it's not annoying like most of them are. I hate it when they go jump forward 20 years, jump back 10, go to the future for 5 seconds, come back
again. So you have enough links to help you to move when
yes.
the book moves, so that's good.
Yes, yes, because you have to go back to when Annie was at Oxford, because this photograph was taken at a well-known Oxford place. It was obviously taken in the Oxford University grounds. So I just thought I might read a little bit of when Annie at last tells her mother that she has become pregnant. There were no histrionics when Annie blurted out the bald, still unbelievable fact of her pregnancy. Her mother's face had simply closed down into its harsh, discontented lines. When at last she spoke, it was with familiar, wounding undercurrent of sarcasm. Am I to assume that there is no young man prepared to make an honest woman of you? Annie thought of Jordan in his faraway American town, of Edward, whom she had treated so badly. She couldn't admit that she didn't even know which man was the father. No, I mean, yes, there's nobody I would want to ask. Well then, you'll have to have yourself seen to. Believe me, Annie, I know what I'm talking about. You see, she paused delicately, I was once in the same position. Her mother rose and walked over to the mantelpiece. She had started smoking again since Annie's father had died. Annie watched mesmerised as she picked a cigarette out of a silver box and clicked her lighter. I've never told you this before because your father insisted that I didn't, but I think the time has come. It might stop you making a stupid mistake that could ruin your life. Annie could hardly breathe. What? Her mother pulled hard on her cigarette, head tilted back, one arm along the mantelpiece, then released the smoke in a fretful burst. The truth is, darling, that when I married your father, I was already pregnant. Through the open window, Annie could hear wood pigeons and the sound of workmen hammering in pegs for the marquee. And it goes on with her mother bringing up other unwelcome little facts. Annie ends up shouting, I hate you, and she leaves and she doesn't see her mother again until her mother's on her deathbed. It's well written and it does get you in. A very engrossing book, so I recommend it.
Well, as far as my read books, probably the most pertinent that's come up of recent times is Jasper Jones, looking at the fact that there's a film out now, and also basically it was described as an Australian version of Harper Lee's To Kill a Mockingbird. Oh. We're looking at a relationship of a couple of teenagers in a country town and what happens with a lot of interesting backstory as far as a old man who's never seen or heard of until late in the book, and also a death that's unexplained that is the 11th hour, a little bit of tension at the end.
Catherine, welcome Hello. To the group.
Thank you.
Probably one of my favourite, written by Australian author. Australia had a lot of really fantastic women writers.
Eleanor Dark, yep.
Yep. Probably some of the best Australian writers from that time were women. Women dominated Australian literature at that time. These books got me through Year 12 history. She did her own research. When she wrote these books, no one had researched into Australian history. So she went into the Mitchell Library in Sydney. She spent 10 years doing the research for these books.
Goodness,
wow. And that's quotes extensively from the original diaries and letters of the original governors.
I can see how that would influence you very much.
It begins with Bennelong, watching the White Fleet arrive. The beginning is written from Bennelong's perspective, and I thought that was pretty good for 1940.
Yep, sure.
Bennelong and his father had come down to the cliffs again, alone. It was quite a long way from the place where the tribe was camped, and they had set out early in the morning when the heat of the midsummer day was only a threat and the spider webs across their path were still glimmering with dew. Now it was afternoon, and though Bennelong was six and expected to bear himself like a man, he was tired and sleepy and a little cross, and he sat in the shade of a rock with his copper-coloured legs thrust out in front of him and his fingers idly making curly marks in the thin, hot sand. His head was bent, his lower lip protruded, his dark liquid eyes were sulky. And yet, although this sleepiness, this coziness lay upon his spirit like a weight, he had some sense, too, of a larger contentment which included it and made it trivial.
That's beautiful.
It is a lovely beginning.
Yeah.
And when you think about the way that the white men, when they arrived, they didn't have any idea and they could have all starved.
So The Timeless Land, is that, it's not a fiction book, it's not...
It is fiction.
It is fiction.
So she weaves fictional characters in with the historical characters.
Yeah.
It is fiction.
But the history is pretty accurate.
But the history is accurate. Catherine, do you have a favourite book you want to talk about?
I have five favourite books.
Five? Probably can't cover them all.
No, four of them are a series of books. Yeah. Antonia White. I don't know if you've read any Antonia White. They're very interesting. She wrote them in the 1940s in England.
A good period for women writers.
Yes.
Obviously, yeah. Mm. What's interesting is all the references to gay culture, because that was very much frowned upon. She went to a convent school, and she's writing home to her mum and dad saying, this girl has the most delightful eyes, they're a flecks of gold. And these nuns go completely berserk and say, it's obscene and all this sort of thing. There's a moment where one of the characters meets her in the dark and recites Baudelaire to her, which is a French romantic poet. And then in another book, she becomes an actress, and there are two actors, and one of them's doing a bit cross-stitch, and it's of a daffodil, and she says, why don't you do a pansy? She says, oh no, that'd be too obvious. So she was actually writing about homosexuality while it was still illegal. And the other thing that appeals to me is that she has this truly fantastic mental breakdown. It's just a fascinating set of books. It's got religion, it's got
mental illness,
it's got homosexuality before it was legal, and it's just all the things just that are fascinating books. And then the other one is one by a lady called Doris Lessing.
Oh, yes.
You've heard of. Yeah.
The Golden Notebook. Beautiful.
That's right. Mm. Well, this particular one is called The Good Terrorist.
Yep.
And again, I lent it to somebody and never got it back. But it shows how somebody can start off being just slightly left of centre. You know, this character is in favour of animal rights and things. And it shows all the stages, how she becomes radicalised to actually become part of the RRA. But it's fascinating to look at that and when you think now about people being radicalised.
Yep.
But this book is brilliant in that it makes you realise how people can become radicalised and all the different stages that she goes through to get to that state.
We should move on to reading of our own work.
I will just read the first part that I wrote for the Winged Pods Anthology. I edited this Winged Pods and Anthology of Hope in response to the Pinery Fires. Clouds bring news, both good and bad, news of rain when needed, or fire when no one needs it.
My piece is something that I've done this afternoon, and it's homework as far as the Adelaide Plains chapter and verse group goes, and it's what is your idea of a dull evening? Dinner parties with self-aggrandising talk, nights out pub crawling with guys driven to drink, live sporting events where players look like ants and the crowd apathetic to the result. These are a few of my indifferent things. A night worth of card games, let alone predicting futures with tarot or Ouija boards, death metal concerts or where there is noise instead of played instruments, a tedious time in the hours after sunset. Speculation on motor vehicles ad infinitum, taking down sections of the population or generalisations about locations, pigeonholing gives it such a narrow view, two-dimensional personalities taking up the length and breadth of conversation. A diversity in discussion, a diaspora of views for healthy alternatives to be floated. That's the culture I want to be a part of.
Hopefully that's the culture we all have when we get together.
Yeah, I might read Out of Reach, which some people have heard before. But groggy with drink and quite unable to sit, let alone stand, Bridget lay flat on her stomach. She eyed her mobile, which lay just a metre from her. If she could reach it, everything would be all right. She tried to get into a crawling position and flopped. She moved onto her side, tried to do a swimming side stroke. She rolled to her other side, reached her arm in front and pushed with her foot. The phone seemed just as far out of reach. Nevertheless, she repeated this process over and over. For how long, she couldn't tell. Halfway there, she lifted her head and looked around. She could see no one, but heard a voice which seemed to say, "Keep going, you can do it." Bridget looked at the phone again. Focused, summing up all her energy, she started her arduous journey forward again. Finally, she reached it, rolled onto her back, put the phone to her ear, and smiled as she heard her mother say, "What a clever baby, and you're only 6 months old. Yeah, let's go and get this video up onto Facebook straight away, so Grandma and Grandpa can see what a clever baby you are."
Beautiful.
A day in November, Far Thought. It was silent on Tuesday, the silence of the naked country, barely a waft of air to stir the stiff stalks of the cropped wheat, scarcely an insect moving in the still, dusty air. It was silent again on Thursday, the blackened chaff dusted by a soft breeze, nature as gentle as a newborn kitten, contrite perhaps for having raged like a half-starved tiger the previous day. It was just a day in November, but not a November day. It began with a flourish, a banging of doors, clanging of iron roofing sheets, trees tearing at their roots, the wind an avenging fury.
Just after one, the cloud began to devour the dust-stained sky to the north, a charcoal grey smudged with scorched ochre. It piled up dense, consuming the sun, as fireballs charged across the crop plains, devouring all, leaving death in their wake. Animals perished in screaming horror, homes were reduced to blackened rubble, eyes scalding, skin scorching, sweating CFS volunteers watched helpless. The wind had the mastery. They had no weapon with which to combat it. Humanity, with all its ingenuity, all its toys and tools, was helpless, reduced to either victim or bystander. There was no option but to retreat and retreat some more as the fire took all, livelihoods, homes, lives. The conquest of two centuries obliterated in seconds. Nature struck back and its swipe was lethal. But what fueled that anger? It was just a day in November, but not a November day.
This is from interviewing a friend who was caught up in the fire at Malalar. Before the fire, all she had to worry about was choosing a new lounge suite for the farmhouse. Then her husband rang. You have to get out, now. He didn't realise he'd not hung up before he said, I don't think we'll get through this. Her son took the fire truck. She bundled the dogs into the four-wheel drive and headed north. Her daughter followed in another car. The air grew thick with choking black smoke. She tried to ring her daughter to make her turn her lights on. No signal. No way of communicating. Just the rising tide of panic as she fled to Hamley Bridge away from the flames, or so she thought. The fire followed her all the way to Kapunda. But she and her daughter were safe, and her husband's son were safe too. But they returned to a desolate bomb site. Their house, their crops, their machinery, raised to dust and brutal metal shards. They will build again. And although life will never be the same, they are strong and will rise from even these ashes.
A writing tip, we forgot about the writing tip. So our writing tip could be about editing. Always get someone else to edit your
work. That's an excellent tip, yes.
That is an excellent
just
tip.
Just occurred to me with my editing. The writer's tip.
It's a good tip.
So always get somebody else to read your work.
No matter
how
often a son.
You edit it. Yeah. And the last one is the Gawler Icons. And last month, back to Gawler for this month for the Gawler Icons image. And I thought because Helen Hennessy's walking tour is being launched in April, early April, mm-hmm. we should do something that ties to that. So I thought Gawler Bridge because that was opened by E.H. Coombe's wife.
Oh, right.
And
really?
E.H. Coombe promoted the building of the bridge.
Time to say our goodbyes.
Time to say goodbye.
Yes, goodbye, everybody.
Yep. Happy writing, everyone.